This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome into the Marvel Stuff Podcast, where like we do every single week, we're trying to decide which fictional creature would be the coolest one to be alive. Would it be Bigfoot? Would it be Loch Ness? I mean, fairies are cool.
Griffins are pretty neat. Very dangerous. I'm not sure how well it would turn out for everyone, but like, can you imagine how majestic that would look?
Griffins is probably one of the cooler answers. Dragons are a little scary.
Dragons are up there.
Yeah, dragons too much danger, though. Griffins. Griffins would be dope. I think that's the right answer. Let's talk some Marvel stuff. I'm Coach, and with me, as always,
Josh Kennedy from Facebook.
I love that guy. We watched the Spider-Man thing yesterday. Across the Spider-Verse. Checked it out. We left a little spoiler-free review yesterday, so check that out. Because moving forward, we're about to spoil everything, starting with right now. So
yep. So if you we gotta. I'll throw a banner up real quick. This is all the spoilers, so don't get mad at us when you get the movie spoiled, because that's why we're here.
What's the biggest spoiler? The fact that a couple of live action things get referenced and seen, or the fact that the ending isn't an ending?
See, it was brought to my attention that actually, it was always meant to be two parts. And everyone just kind of forgot about it because that was announced previously, and I kind of didn't remember that at all.
I did look this up. Yeah, so it was announced that it was two parts, but like, again, there's a difference.
It was not in the marketing that it was two parts. I mean, I'm not mad about it because I know the next one's going to be legendary.
Nah, we'll talk about it because I think there's things I liked about the way it ended and things that weren't as good as other movies that have done the same thing. But like you said, it seemed like a shock to everybody in the theater. Like, all I heard from everybody in the theater was, wait, what? Like, I heard that.
Yeah, I know we were pretty far in the movie before I finally, like, broke down. I was like, I need to go to the bathroom, man. So I went and did that, and then I looked at the time. I'm like, it's been, like, 2 hours since this movie started. When is this thing over? Like, that's when I knew. I'm like, oh, this is not going to tie everything up in a neat little bow. It is certainly going to be a cliffhanger ending. And it definitely was. It was a very comic booky cliffhanger, too. I was into it.
Yeah. Once it started introducing, like, the fact that he was in the wrong universe and stuff, I was like, there's just no way.
Oh, so good, dude. No way.
So
good. Gotta
keep going. So, super fun movie. Super cool. If you listen to my spoiler-free one, I couldn't give it a grade yesterday because I didn't know how I felt about the fact that it didn't have an ending. It's hard to grade a movie that is only half a movie. But then as soon as we stopped that and we started driving home, I called you like 3 minutes later.
You did.
And I changed my mind. Once I thought about it a little more, when you really think about the movie, like 70% of this movie is Gwen's movie. And that movie is a full movie.
Yeah, Gwen went through a full arc. Miles obviously got plenty of progression, but it was definitely like... They were co-leads in this one, I would go as far as to say, more than one or the other. And Spider-Gwen was showing up and showing out. She was super dope. I really, really love that character.
Yeah, I would be curious to look up screen time.
I know, I'm actually curious too, but obviously it's not released yet. But
I would think it's like 65, 35, 80. But anyway, that movie, I can grade. I give this a 9. I think it's a really, really fun movie. I think, like I said in the other review, animation's better. The fun factor has been turned up to 11. Like, I feared the whole time that it was never going to recapture the magic of, like, ooh, cool animation, and people weren't going to respond. And it just completely upped the ante, and it was awesome. So for my money, it's better, and I like it.
Yeah, it was truly fun to watch the animation style switching up. I mean, inspired by the first one, but that, like you said, just turned up, jumping across multiverses. We got a random Lego movie cameo thing that was pretty funny. We get a lot. We're gonna, again, look at the bottom of the screen. We're gonna spoil everything, so don't get mad at us. But like, Donald Glover spoiler was my favorite thing of all time, and I audibly was like, "Let's go!" in the theater. because, man, I was pumped. He had a Prowler costume on.
There were so many clever little references that I could just list all of them. I think there's going to be a YouTube video at some point that's going to be, you know,
point them all out.
All the Easter eggs you missed. That thing is going to be 3.5. That's going to be longer than the movie.
Yeah.
It felt like every single frame had like a unique little reference somewhere, a little panel in the bottom right corner, something somewhere that sort of was just an interesting little tidbit. I'm super curious to look all this stuff up.
Yeah, because, I mean, David in the chat was saying who voiced Peter in the Legoverse. I don't know. He sounded super familiar, and I'm sure he's a talented voice actor, but some of my favorites were Andy Samberg playing emo Ben Reilly. That was just one of the big – I think that was one of the loudest pops of the whole film, even though it was a pretty funny movie. Just like, just thinking about how tragic my past is.
Yeah.
Particularly painful memory or agonizing memory. It's like, oh, my God.
that was clutch. There was a bunch of voices.
The taxi driver from Deadpool played the Indian Spider-Man. That was sick,
dude. I was saying all the things.
Too many good people.
From the voices to like just there was one at one point where a bunch of Spider-Man like dropped down to fix a wormhole, and one of them was just like a hot lady spider in like a jacket, like a lab jacket and everything. I was like, that's a cool Spider-Man.
All of the background Spider-Mans were cool. And a little side cameo, we got to go to the convenience store of Venomverse fame. That was very funny. I was half expecting an Andy Serkis cameo or something, like a voice, but it didn't happen.
Well, yeah, it did everything. It referenced the MCU even, which I was a little surprised by.
We called it Earth 199999 is what they called it, which is interesting. 19999, yep. Cool. I thought
that was pretty fun. They showed the video game. There's a point where someone is playing the Spider-Man
video game. Oh, yeah. His roommate is playing the Spider-Man video game. And I was like, oh, my God, top tier. Which is funny because the first movie had in the background, it was Donald Glover in Community in his Spider-Man shirt from an episode. And then in this one, it's Donald Glover as Uncle Aaron. And yeah, David points out Spider-Punk was the best, easily my favorite animation of the whole thing, I would say. Like, as far as like individual characters, he was top tier for me, because it was like classic just British punk, changing the different colors and looking like magazine and newspaper excerpts. The other one that was like kind of close was the vulture from the museum. That was pretty cool too.
Yeah, you can talk. All right, let's jump into the movie then. Like we said, this is really Gwen's movie, and you could feel it immediately because the entire opening.
Literally, the opening is Gwen. The opening 15 minutes. Yeah.
It's her. She gives her backstory, how lonely she is. Like, you realize that she misses Miles. Like, you kind of, the way the trailers made it look like was definitely Miles misses her, but then you realize, like, she really misses him. It
goes both ways, for sure.
She's having a tough time. Like, her dad's not accepting of Spider-Gwen because of what happened to her universe's Peter, who was the lit. A lot of cool stuff going on there. Like we said, the Leo, like, I don't even know how you describe. He calls it the Leonardo da Vinci world.
The da Vinci looking vulture dude. That was cool.
Very cool animation. A fun fight scene. She gets to be quippy and funny, which she really, you know. It's good to see that all the Spider-Men, for the most part, are like very funny in their own different ways. And she's great.
Yep. First we get the intro of Spider-Man 2099, Oscar Isaac Spider-Man. One we forgot to know, this is a PG movie, which is, you know, it didn't bother me at all. But now that I'm thinking about it, it's like his vampire-ness was like barely mentioned, probably very intentionally, because they couldn't go.
Exactly like two frames of it being like scary, and then it just gets mentioned the rest of the time. It's fine.
It works for me.
But yeah, the whole Gwen setup is great. The world's great. That's my favorite. I think there was a lot of cool worlds.
The watercolor. The watercolor looks like. I love how depending on the scene or even the background music, it inverted the colors. And changing them to like
mid conversation.
Mid conversation, completely different color palette. I was like, man, this must have taken so long just to animate this. It's unreal. Like, it's truly a marvel. pun intended, how how incredible this was.
Just it's my favorite thing to watch because it's God, not just, imagine trying it's to, just the background. Sometimes it's her color. Sometimes it's her dad. Like
this had been taken a month to render the movie, at least on like a high speed computer. Like this is, I don't know how they did it. It's truly, truly incredible.
Yeah, so everything about her world, just I was fascinated the whole time. I've got to see the movie again just so I can watch nothing but the background. Never look at the main characters the whole time.
I tried to do that a couple times, and there was some interesting stuff going on in that background for sure.
Yeah, so many funny little references. The reference to this game, that game, this Spider-Man, that Spider-Man. Fun stuff. But I loved her world. Her setup is great. Like her whole her conflict with her dad. It's like interesting that her dad is the captain, which is.
That, let's talk about that. It's jumping ahead a little bit, but like the fact that there are like canon Spider-Man events, that was a really cool way to kind of like explain the need for this TVA offshoot that they created in the Spider-Man verse or did they call it the Spider-Verse? No, they called it something else. It
was, Miles did, but then
they called it some weird thing.
Super name. Yeah. I like that they called them canon events, which I think is funny because that's like
that is hilarious. Yes, it's very baseball. Comic booky.
Why would they call it canon? Whatever. But all the different setup is nice. That sort of like gets to be a reveal later that you would think his uncle Aaron dying is sort of his Uncle Ben moment, but then it turns out they also all have the same like Captain dying moment, which isn't
true. Yeah, because I don't think Toby had that exact thing, but they can write it in post. It's fine. It was still good.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely.
In fairness, Spider-Man 4 was supposed to feature Kurt Connors in the Raimi trilogy or quadrology at that point, if they would have done it. So maybe they would have gotten to that storyline. Who knows?
But yeah, it was all very. So, but I love her world. I love her setup, and then you meet. Oscar comes in with this. What's the other? Tanya is the name of the girl with the pregnant with the motorcycle.
Jessica Drew. It's that's her name.
God, I don't know why I thought. I don't know. I had the name wrong.
No, Jessica Drew is just Spider Woman's name. They definitely originally a white character, but they made her a pretty epic pregnant black lady, and it was cool. She was a fun character too.
Yeah,
my favorite, but definitely a cool one to have.
Yeah. Speaking of the animation, that animation is the animation I hate the least. I hate the most is the whole the futuristic multiverse one with the bright colors and stuff.
Yeah,
that's the one I dislike. Of all the other animations, I could do without that one. But it's whatever. They come in, they save Gwen, they recruit her because her dad is going to arrest her while she's busy being Gwen. He finds out
it's her. Spider-Womaning. Oh, that was obviously. I mean. We all call that character Spider-Gwen because that's what she's called in the comic books. Very obviously she's Spider-Woman to everyone in the movie because you're not going to use your first name within your code name. But
Spider-Gwen's great. That would be funny if it was just, who is Spider-Gwen? Why can I not? Just trying to figure out the mystery. Gwen, do you know who Spider-Gwen is? I have no idea, Dad.
No, she's got a cool name, though.
That would have been funny. But yeah, it sets up the tension right off the bat because it's the same struggle that Miles is going through. Does he tell his parents?
How did you feel about Gwen's Peter? Because I was surprised to learn that he was one the same age as her from like the previous description of that character. I kind of assumed he was a little bit older and kind of like a mentor. And that is not what this Peter ended up being. It was more like an acquaintance or family friend that you don't really talk to all that much. And then the spin that he's actually the Lizard, that was, it threw a lot of people off for sure. People were surprised.
I mean, it's good justification. It's quick justification. It seems weird that Peter would ever do that, but it makes interesting for Gwen.
Well, that's the idea. So. Multiverse is like everybody does something unconventional that's not like their character because it's different. I mean, obviously, at the end of this movie, we meet a very different version of Miles, and we're going to get to that eventually.
Yeah. So, I thought it was interesting enough. I thought everything about the setup, set up Gwen's character, awesome.
Yep.
And set up really the movie because, like I said, it's the same struggle Miles is having. And at one point, she even gives him the advice, don't tell anyone ever. Like it'll blow up in your face. So
I'm not going to jump around too much, but that pays off really well.
It does for sure. And then we finally get to go back to Miles. He's having the same typical struggles, but right off the bat, he ends up fighting a character by Spot, and it plays it off as pure humor, as he is just the villain of the day. You know, he's just trying to rob a bank in the funniest way possible. I thought it was great.
I don't know if I realized that David Kaluuya, or Kaluuya, I don't know how to say his name, but he's very famous. He's the voice of Hobie, and I did not know that. So that's
Hobie.
Cool.
Hobie.
I pulled up the cast so we can reference it if we need to. But
I did know that, but I appreciate you pulling it up for us.
Bringing it in, yep.
Yeah, because how do you say his name? Jason Schwartzman is his Spot, right?
So that's where I was trying to get to, because yeah, I don't know that guy.
It's Schwartzman. I know him from the League of Evil X's movie.
Well, that's where we were going, so that's why I was trying to look him up so I could see who that guy is. Okay, I see him now.
He's from a lot of old school comedies from our childhood, really. He's got a funny voice. I thought he played it well. I thought Spot introduction was really funny. The fight
Spot
was cool.
I love the evolution of the Spot character just within this movie, and it's not even a full full heel turn, because it's gonna get way worse in the next movie. So I'm definitely excited about that. But yeah, Spot, he started out as just this super lame former scientist dude. I really liked how he was, he's just like, I'm only stealing from the bank. I'm not stealing from you. And yeah, like justifying, like, I literally can't get a job anymore. What do you want me to do? This is my skin. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, a lot of really funny jokes. And then Miles comes in and he's very funny, but then Spot's like very annoyed that Miles,
I'm your nemesis. Or syndrome.
It was very funny. The first time he says, he's like, you caused me like this. And he's like, and he threw a bagel at me. And he's just like,
God.
I thought that was the full backstory.
Literally, me too. And I was like, that's the best thing that's ever happened in cinema. That, like, this guy's mad about getting beamed with a bagel. That's his village and origin story.
It gets fleshed out a little more. He was at the
lame. Should have stuck with the bagel thing.
Yeah, should have just been like, I hit with a bagel, and then I was mad about it. And me getting my powers is completely unrelated. But it's still funny. It's still good. He's a good villain. The whole setup's fine. You know, Miles is trying to balance school and a couple of Spider-Man stuff. It's all good.
Were you disappointed in the lack of true villains in this one? Because the last one had a lot of villains. It was pretty much all of the villains, different versions of them. And this one only saw, you know, I mean, we saw a couple of them imprisoned, obviously, on the Spider-Verse campus. But
I think Spot was a good villain. And I said it's, you know, Miguel is definitely the antagonist. Spider-Man 2099 is the antagonist of this. I don't know if you call him a villain, but he is the person
Right, yeah, but he's doing the right thing, really, which is unfortunate, because it seems like, you know, it made him a complicated villain, which I can always respect that when that type of thing happens, because he's not a true villain.
But yeah, I mean, the main villain was the parents, not really, but like the main conflict really is this identity crisis,
him battling the two worlds. Yeah, I mean, that's the joke they always used to make. Like, this is why all superheroes are orphans, because if you had, like, responsible parents, it would be a lot harder to be a superhero.
Yeah, that's true. So this movie balances that well, and like I said, it's counter opposed to what Gwen did. She ends up showing back up in his universe, which they're both excited about. They spend a little time
hanging out.
It's a fun setup. You definitely feel the chemistry with them, right? I mean, do you agree?
Yeah, for sure. I was a little disappointed that they didn't show the big old smooch or anything like that, but that's all right. We'll get there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Slow roll.
A couple, like, almost hand touches. He's like, ooh, yeah. But, you know, that's sort of when you start to realize it's definitely a two-parter when you get towards that stuff. But I love it. I think it's great. It's one of my favorite little teen romances I've seen in a long time, so I'm all in on it the whole time.
Yep. No doubt.
I think it's going to be the reason I just want the next one to come out tomorrow.
Oh my God. But can you imagine? I think we're 2 years out. At least it's probably more.
It's going to drive me nuts. You know, they're doing the romance, et cetera. Some shenanigans go off and they end up back in the weird spider central hub.
Spider headquarters. Yeah.
Do we like this place? Is it fun? I mean, we've got a lot of cameos.
It lost its novelty pretty quick for me. It was the spider campus. I was like, yeah, it was cool for a second. And then he has a whole escape sequence getting away from all the different Spider-Men. I'm like, eh.
Yeah, no, there's definitely something about this idea of like, if there's all these Spider-Men, then no Spider-Men are really special, which like sort of loses a little weight. Because
the way she described it at first, where it actually, where she's like, oh, it's a select group of Spider-Men. I was like, that sounds cool. That sounds promising. And then it turns out she was just trying to save his feelings.
Turns out actually, there's every Spider-Man.
7,000 of them. Yeah.
It's every Spider-Man except Miles. Yep. Yeah, which I think is a little lame. I think it's, I agree with you. It lost its novelty for me. But some of the references were cool. The villain references were cool. There's like a time when you see the Spider-Man from the Insomnia game. Like
you see that, the Insomnia game. And then you also see, I was just about to reference that one. Facebook user, the Spectacular Spider-Man. That was a big one for a lot of people because that animated show, which I personally did not watch, but it only ran for about 2 seasons on the CW or something random like that. And people were like vindicated that specific Spider-Man finally showed up again. And then there was old school animated Spider-Man made an appearance. And yeah, pretty much any Spider-Man you could think of.
Yeah. And then, I mean, plenty of ones that I've never heard of.
The live action ones, they weren't new scenes. I found that kind of weird. It was just like reusing old, I guess, film. Which is fine, and it worked well the way they played it off, but I was like almost kind of hoping for something a little new. But
no, I mean, they went to a Yavashian universe and the Venom universe. To me, when they did that, I was like, all right, that's the choice you're doing for the live-action thing. We're not going to actually get to see Toby or Andrew.
I think right now on IMDb, Donald Glover is called the MCU Prowler because he played, you know, Uncle Aaron in Spider-Man Homecoming, but... And that would have to be somewhere in the future or something like that. So we'll see if that ever ends up playing out. Because if that would be cool if he actually did end up being a live action Prowler further down the line in these Spider-Man movies. Because eventually they got to bring Miles in, right?
Yeah, I mean, you'd think so. But it's cool that Sony's like, hey, technically he's ours. So we don't need to follow any rules the MCU wants or doesn't want.
We can make
whatever references to the MCU we want. And they did, which is cool.
Well, they also did that in Morbius, and it sucked. It was much better in this one, though. That's for sure.
It was still cool to see him, though. It was cool to see the.
Oh my god! I was so happy
of the live action people just to like know that, like, yeah, those are cool Spider-Man. They exist somewhere. Like we could see Miles end up in New York with Andrew Garfield at some point, and like a weird. They would have to cast a live action Miles and everything,
so
though.
Good.
For even like 5 minutes scene, I would
love. Dude, get Caleb, what's his name from Stranger Things? That's my, or Jaden Smith. Those are my two votes for live action Miles.
Especially if you only need him for like a 1 5-minute scene, because you end up that to me.
Yeah,
is a perfect idea. They need to do it. But yeah, there was plenty of cool references I liked. The world itself was fine. It had its own little unique animation. It was like it was still being drawn, sort of like drafting paper. It's sort of like a first draft sort of look. So it's different. It was cool. It was a little more subtle than some of the more in your face animations. That place was whatever. What did you think of India? I forget what he actually has a name for it, but I can't
remember. Yeah.
This is a big
name. Don't remember the name, but yeah, he was awesome. I loved how he was like, oh, the romantic tension. It's unreal. How do you even focus on the mission? I was like, oh my God, this guy's the best.
It's so funny. Every Spider-Man, no matter how big the situation is, just can't help but,
make the quips.
Can't help be quippy. And he's so funny. He's got his cool, like, you know, he's not really using shooting webs. He's sort of
got that one
yo-yo thing.
Yeah, it's like a yo-yo-esque thing. It's got a real name, but obviously I don't know. But I loved the chai teas. Like, chai means tea. You're literally saying tea. I didn't know that. So now I know that I will sound like a stupid American if I say chai tea.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the same thing.
Any place other than America, I guess.
Non means bread. It's like, yeah, well, I need to differentiate it. But go
ahead. Oh, they pointed out the ATM machine. The M stands for machine. There's a million of these guys. Detective comics.
Yeah. So that's all. I like that city. I thought it was cool. I liked that it was just like very packed. It was like, it's still like New York, which I thought was cool. Yep. Like, it was still fundamentally New York, but it was definitely India. Nothing but traffic everywhere.
David brings up a good point. I did see this, that the live action Miles is in the work. They're saying a lot of things like this. Some of it feels like that one feels legit. They also said that, you know, there's another MJ and Tom Holland one, but they're saying that's on pause right now because of the writer's strike and this, that, and the other thing, which in a way I was like, it feels like Hollywood's trying to get them to back down. They're like, oh, you get all this cool stuff if they would stop complaining. But I have to say, yeah, I'm not going to get into anything too specific. But yeah, it's just like, just pay them people, man. Leave them alone. You're just back to making stuff.
I do think a live action Miles is different. I want this Miles to end up in live action for 5 minutes. That's what I want. I don't want, I mean, I do want a different, fully different Miles to be live action at some point, but I want this Miles to end up someone in live action for just 10 seconds.
Well,
just
Sony, I mean, they've got the bag right now. They signed over, you know, Peter Parker, Spider-Man. I wonder if Miles was in that negotiation because it happened long enough ago to where that character wasn't as big. So, yeah. Who knows? Well,
probably. My guess would be yes. But yeah. Anyway, that stuff's cool. It is when we get introduced to Hobie while Spot is like trying to break into the super glider.
Let's go, Hobie. Man, he's wonderful. He's so good.
He's so good because
he brings my secret identity.
Is so good because it's like you said, it's the most unique world. It's like this world where like
it's just not like just rolling any look paper, covers, it's like
cut together and taped on top.
It's English punk. That's like a look. Like every poster back in like the 80s and 90s looked exactly like that. And they're like, boom, Spider Punk. Let's make them look sick. And they totally did. They even gave him the spiky mohawk because of course they did. Oh man. I love that character.
So not only was his look awesome, and like even when he took his mask off, he looked even
cooler. I love that.
Which is great. And I mean, yeah, it's all awesome. And he has like a very good role because he's sort of anti-establishment. And that even means within this weird Spider-Man.
Yeah, I like how he gets called out for like, how are you anti-establishment, part of this establishment? He's like, well, I'm helping my friends. And then he ends up like ditching the establishment and helping her break the rules in the end anyway. So Spider-Punk lives on, death to the man, anarchy, all that good stuff.
So yeah, I mean, that's so good. Like I said, Daniel Kaluuya is awesome. And it's great to hear his voice. I thought it was really cool. One of the best.
Legit voice. I'm not doing an American accent, so.
I do remember, I mean, this is probably as good a time because at this point we've met most of the main Spider-Man. I remember saying before we watched this movie, is it going to be possible to make enough Spider-Man that were like as cool and I would like them as much as the team from the first one? How do you answer that question? Are these Spider-Man better than the team from last one?
That's a very interesting question and a little bit tricky because in the end we did get all of the originals back, but not the voice actors. But as far as like the main squad, it's a toss up. I think I like these ones a little bit more. Maybe it's recency bias, but I think who do you count Spider-Gwen as though? That's kind of like a dividing vote.
She counts as both.
She's on both.
Okay. She's a wash. She's on both.
Like I prefer Spider-Punk over Spider-Noir. How do I feel about Spider-Ham? Who's his, like, is it Jessica Drew? Because in that case, I'd probably go Spider-Ham over Jessica Drew. But I don't know. Let's go yes. I'll say yes just because I can.
I think I like the first one better. I think I just think Spider-Ham and Spider-Noir were so good.
We got Penny in the robot thing.
I love Penny in the robot. She does show up in this, which is
She has lines.
But Hobie is by far the single coolest one that's not Gwen. So
yep, 100%.
If I had to choose just one character, it'd be him. So
I mean, you also gotta like Spider-Man 2099 is like he's pretty sick. I mean, he's a little annoying because, like you said, he's the antagonist. But like, come on, vampire buff Spider-Man from the future. Come on, it's cool.
It is cool.
It's a Batman Beyond knockoff, but we'll leave it alone.
I wasn't really counting him because he's not on the team. He's not on our guy's side. You're right. Our boy, you know, Peter B. Parker, he shows back up
with Mayday,
with the baby. I think that's an interesting thing.
Oh my God, dude. The fact that we're both three dads, I'm like, oh, that picture thing. It's so what parents do. I try not to do that, but it's like, I can see the baby. I don't need to see pictures of the baby. I'm like, yeah, but she's not making the cute face.
I can promise I have never once, while my baby was in the same room, shown someone a picture of my baby. Never done it. Never
will. I definitely have. Definitely.
But I have shown pictures of my baby way too often. But yeah, he was pretty good. I felt like he's a little different than, like, he just, something wasn't quite the same as his first.
Yeah, it was showing him evolving a little bit. And he's a dad. And now instead of sweatpants, he's wearing slippers and a pink robe. I'm like, all right.
I thought
it was good. I liked his use. Obviously, he wasn't as much of a focus as he was in the last one, but I enjoyed that he returned. I enjoyed that he tried to be on kind of side with Miles, and he didn't try and betray him, but in a way, like, they tracked him, and it was a whole thing while he was trying to make his escape, and that's a fractured relationship they're going to have to get again.
Yeah, it felt like he was more like just trying to. He wanted to just talk to Miles about what's happening.
Yeah.
Which is great. The other, just because I'll forget to mention it, J. Jonah Jameson, another iteration.
Oh my God.
So you gotta love it.
It was J.K. Simmons, right? It had to be. Yeah, it was multiple. It was the Lego one. It was the one that was on TV and the break room or whatever. He was just playing so many versions of the same character.
I love
he
the
idea. Changes that comic voice.
Love that idea. I love that.
Had they done J. Jonah Jameson in the games yet? I don't remember. I feel like they did, but I don't.
He isn't.
Okay, should have been J.K. Simmons then. He should have been like the one guy that does everything.
That is, I mean, he is expensive, but.
Yeah, but come on. You in gotta my head, do it. It'll always be J.K. Simmons, yeah. He's like one with the role, just like, you know, Hugh Jackman with Wolverine, Kevin Conroy with Batman.
I did love that. I was very excited. It's great. Another thing that just brings you joy while you're watching the movie. It's like,
yep.
Yeah.
Had to do fun. It.
All that stuff's good. Like you said, I mean, yeah, the India was cool.
Tom Holland wasn't in it, right? There wasn't even a reused scene of him. They did reuse Garfield a couple times, and they reused Toby once or twice.
Yeah, he's in a flashback.
But they referenced Tom. They did not get Tom Holland's, like, any of his appearances, like, live action. You didn't get to see his face at all.
Correct.
That I recall. There were a lot. There's definitely a possibility that it got past me, but I don't think so.
No, they would have made a big deal of it. We would have seen it. As the plot goes on, it starts to drag a little bit towards the end. Cause then you said there's like this escape scene when they finally reveal to Peter and to Miles that
that did feel like super icky. They're like, oh, you want to save your dad? Too bad. Canon event. Get bent. Go in this weird shield web thing. He said, nah, fam, that's not happening. I'm saving Pops.
I mean, it's such a weird dynamic because if you think about it as like logically, it's like, well, me not being able to save him is different than me knowing he's going to die and letting him die. Like, that's a different event at that point.
Yes. So it's a fair point as well.
Now that I know it, it's already canon in a different way. But I mean, I don't really know the answer. I mean, like you said,
there was some smart writing in this one for like transversing a multiverse, which is difficult in and of itself because the rules are all made up and the points don't actually count.
Yep.
Whose line is it reference right there?
Well, classic. You guys should watch it. One of the great shows of all time. So funny.
That's true. Yeah. So it like he, you know what I was going for.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought though.
Multiverse is it's clever. They do a good job. They make it simple. They also have the same exact branching tree from Loki, which is hilarious to me.
Yeah,
that they're just like, they literally are just like, we're just doing, you know, it's the same thing.
Yep, same.
In my head, the Spider-Verse and the MCU multiverse exist like parallel to each other.
You mentioned it in the spoiler-free cast, but it's DC and Marvel are both doing this. It's the theme of the week. And it's like, it's Hollywood capitalizing. Like, okay, how do we get nostalgia and the young audience at the same time? Boom, multiverse. And it's like, it's still cool, but someone's going to mess it up majorly. And then it's going to bum me out and kind of ruin the pile for me.
I think
waiting for the pin to drop.
I legitimately think MCU is going to be the one who messes it up. If you want to be honest?
Because the Flash is like freaking legendary, and it's going to be awesome. And that we're definitely going to go see in a couple of weeks here and review it on this podcast. So prepare, Marvel fans. We're doing a DC movie trip.
And this one, I think, has already got it right. The Spider-Verse already has it right, and they're going to do a second one. I think they have it. Creative team is. Well, third one overall, second of this
movie. Yeah, second of the. How many movies are they going to make for this series? Like, are they ever going to stop? Because there's really no reason to.
I don't know. I think they're going to make a ton of money.
Has this happened? Okay, obviously, there's like some examples of like them taking a cartoon franchise and keep bringing like new movies and carrying over the same cast. But I can't think of like overarching stories that have been able to kind of do this for a prolonged amount of time. Because like, you got the DC movies right now, I guess you could count those.
No, not really, because then those count, but they don't count. They're not big theatrical releases. You could argue like Toy Story, but those happened huge chunks of time between them.
Exactly.
Like the difference between one and two and then three was just, it's technically the same story, but it's not this. This
feels almost disconnected because there's such a time thing. Like I wonder how long they're going to milk this cow, because it's just like it's going to keep making money. And if they keep making it like as good as these last two have been, like there's no reason to stop.
Yeah, I mean, if someone told me the over-under on Spider-Verse movies was 5.5.
I'd go over.
I would probably take the over. I would say, like, I bet they make at least 5 good ones and then make 2
more. Might start to fall off at the end. Because eventually, like, some of the cast is going to be like, yeah, pay me more money. And they'll be like, nah, fam. And then it's going to get a little weird, probably.
That's the point you run out of famous people to put in cameos. Although Fast and Furious has 10, and they brought The Rock back.
Oh, good. No, The Rock did not come back. What are you talking about? He is coming back now for a spinoff, but he's not doing any scenes of Vin Diesel. Not going to do it.
Well, he's in the next one. He's in Hobbs, and he's in the next. But he is back. Whatever.
I haven't seen that movie, so I'll believe you. I thought he said no.
He had an Instagram post that he said he's back.
Sick.
I haven't seen it either. Apparently, he's in the post-credit. Spoiler alert to that as well. But at this point, that movie's been out for like 3.5 weeks. So fight me. And I haven't seen the scene, so I could be lying. Back to Spider-Verse. Like I said, once this started happening, the runaway scene, he's a glitch because he got bit by the wrong spider. Again, this whole idea.
That's kind of one of my points was like the writing was really well done because they made the spider make sense. One, it was part of Spot's origin. He pulled the spider from a different universe, and that universe didn't get a Peter Parker, so there's no Spider-Man. And it's left in a villain's landscape, and then his DNA has been rewritten to be part of that multiverse in a way that transported them. I'm like, that's pretty smart writing. I'm not gonna lie. Like that was pretty cool. And like the fact that his mom's apartment looked close enough to the real world that like he just kind of didn't notice any difference.
Yes, that was very cool. The whole wrong universe reveal at the end is awesome. It was set up, like you said, it was set up. I wonder if they were thinking about that when they wrote the first one. My guess would be no, but.
Well, it's just smart. Lines too. The mom's like, oh, what'd you do? You do something different with your hair? And then as an audience member, you're like, his hair doesn't look that much different than it did before, but maybe he's got some dust in it or something. And then it moves forward. And then it gets like, oh, he had braids. Oh, he's glitching. Oh, it's not his universe.
And it does that whole classic. Yeah. And that scene's great. We'll dive into that scene.
We'll get to that point.
But yeah, the Miles escape scene's fine. It's whatever. It's got some cool action, but I don't love really anything that's happening. It's sort of the most boring 10 minutes to me. Spider T-Rex is like, okay. I kind of figured they would make a Spider T-Rex reference.
Because that's like a big thing in comics.
It's a famously wacky Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know there's one that's like him with just noodles? I didn't see that anywhere in the movie, but I want to go back and look.
Nope.
Anyway. This part's all great. But then, like you said, he finds a way to get back to his universe, right? Because he goes to this machine that has a spider that scans you and sends you back to your universe, except he was bit by the wrong spider, so it scanned the wrong...
Yeah,
which I thought was interesting. Cool. Gwen gets sent back because she tries to stick up for him. That's interesting. But then, lucky for us, Hobie left her a watch or whatever they use to transverse behind.
The bracelet that he made himself.
And as at this point of the movie, you're right. You're sitting there. You're like, this is a long movie.
Yeah.
And she has her whole conversation with her dad, and you're like, well, that's great. Like, I'm glad that you're having this conversation. It's one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, it is very good.
The whole movie.
Visually really good too. Like his dad, like her dad retired, and like they have this, you know, heartfelt moment. There's a couple, you know, father daughter hugs and stuff. It was overall it was really good, that story. And you're right, that wrapped up. So we kind of begin and end with Gwen and her dad, and that fractured relationship kind of regrouping, which is awesome. It made the movie feel complete in a way, but then also didn't fully put everything into a bow.
But when you're watching it in the moment, you don't think about that because think the movie's going to end.
Yeah,
you still think like Miles needs to complete his arc, but he doesn't. The movie sort of like after that scene. Then we get the reveal that he's in the wrong universe.
Yep.
Gwen realizes she's in the wrong universe. She has to like own up to his parents.
Yep. And then you find out that the dad died in the other multiverse and not Uncle Aaron. And Uncle Aaron realized that he was a fake, knocks him out, ties him to a punching bag. And you're like, oh man, he's going to go full Prowler. We all thought it was coming.
I did not. I saw this coming, for the record.
Version of him,
the different universe thing twist I didn't get, but I did realize quickly that Miles was going to be the Prowler in this other universe. That was the one thing
I mean, right. It's very comic booky, so yeah. I mean, yeah, it makes total sense. Like, if you read any Batman jumping multiverse thing, it's, you know, just the Injustice video games, though, that's the whole story plot line is exactly that, where everybody's evil except Batman.
You gotta love it, but yeah. Like, you get those reveals and you're like, holy shit, like, you're introducing a whole new villain, a whole new thing here. And you're like, what's happening? And Gwen's like, oh, I'm going to go find him. You're like, you better hurry up. And then you realize, oh no, this is the end of the movie.
Yep.
they
left it on a cliffhanger.
She's
Has there ever been an animated cliffhanger before, Coach?
I don't know.
That That's you can think of? I'm sure they're like, someone might be shouting something obvious, but to me, animated movies have always been known to kind of like begin and end within their own movie, and you get a conclusion to the story because that's how movies work. But they're like, nope, we're spending millions and millions and millions of dollars, and people are going to pay to see an incomplete product. Not mad about it though.
I know. There's definitely something to, like, I give Sony a lot of crap. You guys know that if you've been watching this for a while. But there's something to Sony, which is like, took out it's long, put it on the table and was like, hey, we know this is awesome. We know you guys are coming back. We're not scared. And they made this movie. Like, a lot of the choices they made were like a little bit of, you know,
it's been a while since Sony, I think, had the cojones to do something crazy like this, because they've had to make a lot of concessions to appeal to a broader audience. And really, you could say the MCU is kind of guilty of that at this point. So it's refreshing to see them be like, we're doing what we're going to do, and you're going to deal with it. Obviously, Marvel did the similar thing with Infinity War, so they kind of got that. But still, it felt fresh because it's been a while.
It was a harder cut, for sure, than like Infinity War. You, like, in the audience, you knew. Like, you could feel it as soon as, like, you realized, oh, he's got all the stones. You knew this is going to be the end of the movie. They're not going to stop him.
Yep.
In this one, you definitely didn't. I didn't, like, until...
The end catches you by surprise. They did a good job of doing that.
She's like, I got some friends to help me. And you're like, oh, cool. And then it's like, oh, movie's over. You're like, hey, what?
Yeah, because it felt, she built her new super team. Like, oh, they're going to go save Miles. It's going to take, like, 15 more minutes. It's going to wrap everything up nice and pretty. Nope.
End of movie. I definitely did. You're right. Like, you see the whole team and you're like, oh, it's going to be really
fun. This is going to be it right here. Yep. It's going to be awesome. Nope.
And then,
we're done. We're done, boys.
Let's start there. Let's start at the future and then work back to the movie itself. Going forward, do we like what's set up? Do we like this idea that he's stuck in this?
Well, I did like the idea of, now, the Miles chase scene by all the Spider-Man did feel a little bit like extra, right? But it also showed that Miles has the ability to kind of outwit and outmaneuver a lot of other Spider-Men. So it kind of builds up his counterpart a little bit, where even though they're bringing a team of like big spider guys and girls in this, you know, universe, he stands a chance by himself, which not always the thing, not always something you can expect for, you know, stakes. Cause it's not like the Prowler has a team of supervillains that we know of. They could certainly underdo something like that, but they left it at a point where it's like, okay, this could go either way, which I really dig.
Yeah. So my official prediction, what I think is going to happen is that Prowler Miles is going to, I'm just going to call him that, Prowler Miles. That's his nickname for now on. He's going to be like fascinated by this idea of multiverse. He's going to be evil, but he's going to like use Miles to try to like also travel the multiverse. He's going to want to like spread his evil influence.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the idea. Like, that's why.
Or like he wants to get his dad back. You know, yep. He sort of says something about like your dad's a lot. So, something like that. I'll be interested to see how that kind of works out. That'll be hard enough, but there's still the Miguel and the whole team of Spider-Man going after him. Like, that's still
yeah. Too. So Gwen left, but didn't warn the dad. I don't know if you noticed that, but like, she didn't warn him of an incoming death. She kind of left that part out. Because I guess maybe because she was focused on saving Miles, but she also could have taken the opportunity to do what Miles was trying to do in the first place.
What are you going to say, though? Hey, there's going to be a random tragedy at some point, and a little kid's going to need saving. Don't save him.
Well, she knows when it's going to happen, though. She really could give him a heads up.
I don't think she does.
Yeah, they say right in it that like it's like the 2 days after he's sworn in or something like that. It's a line in the movie.
Yeah, they do say that, don't they?
Yeah.
But, again, I don't think there's anything he's going to be able to do about it other than retire as captain, I guess. But
fair enough.
I understand. But there's going to be – that's still going to be part of the movie. Miles is still going to have to make the decision.
Well, he's got to try and get home, but is he going to get home in time? And it's a canon event, so there's big stakes there. It's like, yeah, there's a good chance his dad dies, and that would be
a huge bummer. But is it a canon event? Because he's not supposed to be Spider-Man
anyway. He's not actually Spider-Man, right. That's another – yeah, there's a lot of fun story elements they can play with here because – even Miguel's like, yeah, it's a Spider-Man thing, but it's like he is the original anomaly. I loved that explanation and that little speech too. It's like, hey, you were never supposed to be Spider-Man. You don't belong here, yada yada yada.
But like, also, was he? Like, I don't know. Like, what is destiny in a world of a bunch of different universes, right? Like,
exactly. You
know. I think that's interesting. I'm curious to know, like, is Miguel gonna like learn his lesson? Is he going to die on this hill? Like, is there going
to
be a turn?
What happened to this universe is this new universe, there's still a Peter Parker, just not a Spider-Man. So I'm curious, right, like how that Peter Parker is going to play out.
That's
if he somehow he's like, what is it? Like Flashpoint Superman or something like that, where they got him locked away in a bomb shelter or something silly like that. You know, just an explanation of why Peter's not in contention, I guess. And also, like, where are the Avengers and other heroes? I guess in this world, they haven't referenced other heroes yet. But at the same time, it's like...
They did. They referenced Doctor Strange, which, you know.
Yeah, but that was in Earth 1999.
I know. It is funny to think. It's like, is the MCU the only multiverse universe that has
with other heroes?
Because Guy Andrew Garfield's and Tobey's Spider-Man also didn't know anything about the Avengers. So sure. Maybe... We're watching the best universe. That's why I made it to film.
Must be.
All right, that's enough speculation. We'll have plenty of time to speculate, I'm sure.
Yeah, that'll be another episode at some point, I'm sure.
Going back to the movie, did you have a favorite? Did you have a favorite character? Did you have a favorite like story that was happening?
There are a couple. My three favorites. I'll have to pick one of them, but it was Spider-Punk, Ben Reilly, which, and then Spider-Gwen. Obviously, I can't pick Ben Reilly, but god dang if he wasn't funny. I gotta go Gwen. I still gotta go Gwen on it, even though Spider-Punk is legendary, and I really, really enjoyed that character.
Yep. In terms of just single favorite character, I still really like Peter B. Parker. I sort of like his vibe. I like
Jake. Well, he's going down our path. he's literally someone our age just jumping in this like young buck Spider-Man headquarters, bringing his baby. Like, that's what it is,
about,
man.
Yeah, something about that I love. And plus, I can't, no matter how much I watch this movie, this is a me thing. I cannot break I've said it like three times in this podcast. I say Peter instead of Miles. Like, no matter how much I try, the Peter Parker to me is like, oh, that's the real Spider-Man. It's like it gets stuck in my head all the time. But Gwen's the best story. She's the most interesting part.
Yeah.
Like I said, coming out, I think there's a good chance.
I liked the, like, where it was like, oh, she, in a way, she did kill her Peter, but she didn't feel like she killed him. It's kind of weird. Like, I like that a lot. And I like how the dad is like, has to make the moral decision to believe his daughter or not. And it's like, she did legitimately kill a dude, like kill him. He's dead. And it was by her hand while she was protecting everybody else. It's
right. You know, I mean, she was fighting things to think about. But there is, I mean, yeah, a lot of interesting stuff. I think there's a good chance. I don't know if this might be too much, but she's going to be close to like everybody's favorite female superhero. Like quickly. I think a lot of girls.
Well, I've said that.
I don't know if girls will watch this movie. That was the thing. Like,
I think
it's already hard enough to get girls to watch superhero movies.
That's a fair counterpoint, but I will say I said this in previous episodes, she's very much on the Harley Quinn Express. She's gaining popularity quickly, fast, and it doesn't seem to be slowing down anytime soon.
I think if she gets the live action movie,
that's what it's gonna be. It's gonna be live action Spider Gwen. Maybe that's where friggin' Miles shows up. Instead of doing a Miles film, they could turn it on its head, do a Spider Gwen, have Miles be the sub lead. I don't know. There's a lot of different things they could do here. And it's technically Sony's responsibility, so there's a good chance they mess it up, unless it's the MCU, in which case maybe they won't mess it up. But you're right. I think Spider-Gwen is going to surpass a lot of other female hero mainstays. I mean, what other ones are there left? We had two Wonder Woman movies. The first one was good. Second one wasn't that great.
The Marvels is coming out, I think.
Marvels is coming out, but are any of them any girls' favorite superhero?
I think more girls like Miss Marvel than we give credit for. I'm not Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel than we give credit for. But
maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
I don't know. I would say this. If you're listening to this right now, and
I'll put a poll. I'll put a poll on this episode. Yeah, like, who do you feel is the most popular female? Can I say? Yeah, I'll say superhero, and I'll include Harley Quinn, even though she's like, you know, anti-hero, whatever.
I would be curious, but what I do want to say, if you're watching this and you have, you know, a sister, or your wife, your significant other, and you like, you know, a female, tell them to watch this movie. Tell them like the lead of this movie.
Well, that's the interesting really thing. Is like female. Some people just aren't going to need convincing. Like Dominique wanted to watch this movie with me, but we had baby and we watched it on like a random Thursday. But like the first movie was really good. And I think for the most part, it was received positively. So I don't know. Maybe there's more females seeing this movie than we realize. I'd say in the theater we were in, it was probably 70% dudes, 30% women, and probably 15% of the 30 were there because their boyfriend wanted to see the movie. So,
yeah, which is fine. That's,
you know, it's great. I mean, there's also probably a couple dudes that were there because the girl wanted to see the movie. We're not being.
I don't know if I think that.
Maybe like two couples.
One dude was there and he didn't want. But yeah, I hope people watch this. I hope girls watch this. I hope Spider-Gwen becomes the most popular female girl.
I was literally just gonna say that. I was like, I'm gonna have to take it into like true consideration, but she's definitely top five female heroes for me at this point. Might squeak into the top three, honestly. I'd have to really think about it. Maybe a fun future episode just to do for funsies. But
yeah, maybe after the Marvels come out, we can get a little better judge.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
So yeah, I think that's cool. We've already talked about the villains. I mean, storyline wise, there's really only two stories. It's the Miles trying to talk to his parents and Gwen trying to talk to hers. They both handle it well. I did love the reveal that Miles like finally had the courage to tell his mom, and then
she's like, "What's Spider-Man? Is that like you're dressing for Comics Con?" Like, oh no.
Yeah.
Also, why is Comic Con a thing if superheroes don't exist? Just saying.
Supervillains exist. I don't know. I mean, the Spider-Man game existed in one universe, but then that character actually existed. So
I loved it. That was great. It's good stuff.
I love all of it. Yeah. And whatever. Anyway, last thoughts on the movie. Anything you want to say? Anything you want to make sure to?
Nope. I hold steady on my 8. I almost got convinced to move it to a 9, but I'm going to stick with the 8. I think they can really stick the landing on the next one, and it's going to be just animated franchise. I mean, you could do spinoffs for 50% of the main, you know, side characters if you wanted to. So I don't think this is going anywhere anytime soon, and I'm here for it because it looks gorgeous. I mean, if you thought the first one was like really cool with its pop art and stuff, you got to watch this one with the watercolors and the Da Vinci style and the parchment and the yada, yada, yada. There's a million different styles, and it's fantastic and really cool to look at.
Yes, there's one that's like very Proud Family.
Yep.
Watch that.
Proud Family Animation.
Which I love. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Great movies. Ton of fun. Definitely worth watching. Convince other people to watch it. I think I want this movie to blow up. I really do.
It's already in the 90s on Rotten Tomatoes, I think. But,
perfect. Yeah. Hope you guys had fun listening to us. Like I said, we love this movie. We'll talk about it again. We always try to make sure we talk about it at least one more time.
Yeah. It'll stay around. We'll, you know, if it'll be a whole episode or just be like I think we'll do like a maybe fun, a fun speculation thing at the end.
I love it. All right. Well, this was fun. Thank you guys for hanging out. Share this podcast. Get it out there. We like our reviews are always our most popular. We would love for you guys to share this, spread it around a little bit. We appreciate you guys. Have fun. Try not to have too much fun without us. That's right. Oh, David, fun fact. Film made 5 times more than the last film. I'm not surprised.
On Thursday, yep. Thursday night release. 5 times more. Good.
That's not surprising at all. Hopefully that maintains.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, in case it wasn't obvious, we here at Marvel Stuff and the Gotham City Rogues podcast do not own any of the IP we talk about. We're just fans having a good time talking about the things we love.